Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome one and all to Storybox, the place to be if you are a lover of stories, learning, growth, and you want to improve your life. My name is Jay Phantom, and I've made it my purpose to unbox and share the amazing stories from people of every profession all over the world. I am truly grateful that you have decided to listen in today. Now let's journey into the story box together and hear more about whose story will be unboxed today. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Storybox. I am thrilled that you're here today and have decided to return. Today, my friends, I have a very special individual. His name is Boris Kodjo. Now, if you don't know who he is, or I guarantee you probably heard him or seen him on any of these films, either Love and Basketball, Brown Sugar, Doing Hard Time, either The Gospel, Starship Troopers 3, Marauder, Surrogates, Resident Evil Afterlife, Resident Evil Retribution. He plays Luther West, Addicted, Ferdinand, and more recently, Nicole and OJ. He plays OJ Simpson in that. He's been in so many television shows, a couple of them such as Nip and Tuck, Soul Food, Steve Harvey's show. He's been on House of Cards, Grey's Anatomy, just to name a few. And this was a very, very interesting conversation. It was quite deep, and I wish I had more time to really unbox the story of Boris, because he is a very fascinating individual, deep thinker, and I appreciate deep thinkers a lot because I have so many questions, but I was really grateful for his time. I really was. We dive into some very, very, very relevant topics, and he gives some incredible advice, so I know you guys are going to get something from it. But if you do get something from it, share it around, share it to your friends and your family, let them know of this. If they have, or they do know of Boris, just show your support, show your love, let us know what you think, leave a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts. It goes a long way to building the community. I myself have admired Boris and his work from afar for a long time. And you know, those moments where you see somebody that captures your eye with their performance on the screen. I don't know about you, but I look up IMDb and see who it is. And I never thought in my wildest dreams that I'd be actually speaking to Boris. So thank you so much, Boris, for your time. You guys know what time it is. It's time to dive into Storybox and hear the incredible Boris Kodjo's story.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm excellent, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here today. And I'm really looking forward to actually unboxing your story. Before we dive into your backstory and why you do what you do, how you do it and everything like that, and I apologize for the facts in the beginning, but it happens. Okay. I have one question that I love asking all my guests, which is, what does success look like to you?
To me, success means being happy in your skin and to being fulfilled with why you do things. I think that part of the journey is to figure out what your purpose is in life. I think that we're oftentimes too focused on the destination, the so-called payoffs, and the, you know, different smaller and bigger goals that we might set for ourselves. But I think we come to find out that the reward and the actual success lies in, you know, the journey and the relationship that we forge while we're on this planet. And so to me, you know, having long lasting relationships and also speaks to joy and happiness and being content with where you are in your life. So, success to me means being absolutely content with who you are and your purpose.
Couple of questions coming from that. When was the moment that you realized that success for you was living your purpose-driven life. It was finding happiness and fulfillment. When was that moment? And my second question, which sort of leads from that,
I think after you achieve certain goals in life, you realize that you don't wake up the next day with a bigger smile on your face or a warmer heart. It's just another check mark on your list. And I think for me it was the same. You know, once I realized certain dreams in my life, and I found out that, you know, my happiness, my joy, my fulfillment really doesn't depend on those things, but rather, you know, on my relationship with the people I love and the people that care about me, I think that's when I flipped the switch.
Mm. And for those people that are struggling right now to actually find their purpose, what advice would you give them?
You know, I think everybody's on their own path, and they have to walk that path at their own pace. I think people are struggling right now in this time period of the past 10, 15 years because social media has become so, detrimental to people's development. We're so busy looking right and left and looking across our timelines and living vicariously through other people's fake interpretation of their lives that we get, we get distracted from our own path. And I think that's what leads to confusion and sort of misguidedness. And sometimes you have to disconnect. Mm-hmm. You have to unplug, and you have to listen to your own heart and understand that, you know, this is your movie and you are the leading actor in your own movie. So I think that's why a lot of people get distracted.
Mm, no doubt. Have you found it difficult over the years to actually listen to your own heart and disconnect?
No, because I've added that, or I've introduced that into my lifestyle. I made it a habit because I found how important it was. Mm. It's just like, you know, eating healthy and exercising and meditating. There's certain things that are just undoubtedly good for you. They help you live a high quality life. And part of that was unplugging. I understood immediately when the use of social media got out of control and that there's a large part of society that is literally distracted by that 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And that's a lot of time to lose in one day. So I knew that I had to become the boss of social media use rather than having social media be in control of me. Mm. So I set some really tough guidelines. And for instance, when I wake up in the morning, I don't touch my phone for an hour. I spend an hour with myself and my family and before I get online. And I also restrict the use of devices here in my house with my kids. They're 15 and 14. They didn't get a phone until 2 years ago. We don't have video games in the house. They can only use their devices in the office. They cannot take their computers into their rooms or their phones into their rooms. So those are all just precautionary measures that we take to help them not be tempted by these devices and then fall into a rabbit hole and, you know, come back out 5 hours later.
You find that you appreciate life more, because when I was growing up, I didn't have the technology, so to speak. Like, we couldn't afford it, firstly. And secondly, it was either, if we did get it, it'd be like this really big brick. You couldn't really go on social media or anything like that. So instead, we'd go outside and enjoy the sun in the afternoon, or we'd read a book. And you find that you're less stressed. You're less anxious as well. And I think a lot of young people in our world today, they're seeing a lot of this negative information, and it's leading to higher rates of depression, anxiety, suicide, sadly. There's like next level things that I didn't experience growing up. I experienced the complete opposite, or the complete reverse of it all. And I think what you're talking about is completely true. Like, and we should take into account that social media itself is just a tool. It's not, the tool itself is not bad. It's how we use it. And if we're using it the wrong way, which sadly a lot of people are, then we're going to have all this negative, all these issues in our society. So I like your take on that, man. So thank you for sharing that.
I think as you know, with human evolution, technological evolution, we find ourselves in a place where there's no regulation yet, and there's absolutely zero knowledge of the side effects that technology has on us, whether it's physical, mental nature, social nature, really, because it's already impacted how we communicate and how we engage with other people in a negative way. So we don't know the long-term effects. It's like when people started smoking, and then in the 30s and 40s, cigarette ads never mentioned the dangers of smoking and the risks of, you know, getting cancer until 40 years later. So, and we're in this place where there's this great sort of surge and progress of technology, and everything is available instantly, and we can communicate with people across the world. And yeah, that's great if you use it as certain tools, but the majority of the aspects are detrimental to development, to your personal development. So I'm just really careful. And especially with my kids, I don't want them to sort of disappear in this sort of world of social media and be sucked into the so-called Facebook depression you just mentioned. So we just take it, one baby step at a time, and we're very, very cautious.
I like how you mentioned there's sort of been like this connect to the whole world, but there's also been this disconnect at the same time, because we've sort of learned
exactly
how to communicate properly. And I think communication is such an important aspect in life. I think it's the important aspect. If we don't communicate properly or effectively, then we can't have great relationships with anyone. So I think it's a learning process for a lot of people, especially young people too. I mean, I had to learn it. So I think if you make the choice to be on that correct path, then you'll be okay eventually. Like, but you got to make that choice. And I like how you've made it with your kids and in your own life. With, I want to ask you about the meditation aspect and how meditation, like, what kind of meditation do you do? Is it for an hour, half an hour, and how does that set you up for a more positive day? Can you explain how that works for you?
Well, first of all, it's got to be sustainable. You can't expect to do an hour of meditation a day when you're a regular person like myself, you know, with a job and with kids and with responsibilities. I don't have the luxury of sitting on top of a mountain for an hour and meditating. That's not what my life is right now. Right. So I always tell people, if you want to improve the quality of your life, you have to do it in a way that's sustainable. I don't believe in diets. I don't believe in extreme measures to alter one's life, because we are constructed, physically and mentally in a way that keeps us safe from change. So in order to make these adjustments, they have to be made with the conscious mind in terms of what's sustainable. So we can slowly introduce new habits into our lives.
For all of my healthy people out there and my chocolate lovers, what if I was to tell you that you can eat chocolate every single day, guilt-free, plus you get so many incredible benefits, such as healthy blood sugar, reduces free radicals and fights off inflammation, therefore slowing down aging in your body. It makes you fall asleep faster by helping your body to produce more melatonin and serotonin, and it keeps you asleep throughout the night. It also helps prevent brain aging. It promotes good skin care. What would you do? Would you go and buy it? Trust me, I don't need an excuse to eat chocolate. And I don't think all my chocolate lovers out there need an excuse either. I mean, you've got chocolate cake, chocolates everywhere. I go down to the shop nearly every single day and buy myself a chocolate bar because I love chocolate so much and I have those cravings. Well, I'm excited to tell you about this product that my friend Annette May has created called Cacao Bliss. Now, this unique Peruvian cacao is not only sweet like regular milk chocolate, it is one of the highest and richest, healthiest foods rich in antioxidants on the planet, being 12 times healthier than blueberries, you heard me correctly, 16 times healthier than kale, and 37 times healthier than even one of my favorite foods, broccoli. Now, when I first started the Storybox, I personally made a decision that I was not going to promote anything I don't use myself, I don't love, and I don't believe in. Now, I personally believe in this product. I use it myself. So if you love chocolate and you want to get extra health benefits, then this is the product for you. Now, Danette May has got a special offer for all of you that are listening. Now, if you want your own Cacao Bliss today, you can order online. I'll put the link in the bio so you can check it out, or you can look at the storyboxpodcast.com at the sponsorship page. You can click that link and it'll take you directly to where you can buy it. You can get the individual package at a subscription level for $53.95 a month, or you can get a one-off four-pack. Plus, with this special offer, you get an extra one free. That is five of them for $199.95. Or you can get what the net calls the Chocolate Lovers Package, which is three pouches. This is a one-time offer, this one, for $149.95. That is $149.95. They are valued at close to, the four-pack is valued at close to $400, and the three-pack is valued at $239. That is a lot. So why not give yourself a reason to celebrate your life instead of only on special occasions? Try your Cacao Bliss today. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this. Be blessed, everyone.
Change our patterns. Meditation, I start 5 minutes a day. Let's start there. It's sustainable. I can fit it into my day. It's not going to be disruptive to my rhythm, and it's going to have an impact on my life immediately. And for people who start meditating, I always say, look, don't try to control your thoughts. It's not going to work, right? What you have to do is just focus on little things, like focus on your breathing, on inhaling and exhaling, on your lungs contracting and expanding. And when your thoughts go with them. You know, don't fight it. And when you do that 5 minutes a day, you get deeper and deeper into it, and you discover that you can go longer without being distracted. Mm-hmm. Same with exercise, right? You can't expect to be in the gym for an hour and a half every day. Who has the time? Who has the means? Gym memberships are expensive. So do it in a way that allows you to add it as a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, maybe you can work your way up to 20 minutes a day of moving your body. Now, whether that's HIIT or cardiovascular workouts, whatever that is, it's all good. It's all good for you. But again, you have to make it sustainable. So start with baby steps. Talk about nutrition, same thing. Diets don't work because they're not sustainable. I'm not going to starve myself, and I'm not going to eat foods that I don't like. Mm. I might do it for 3 days and I'm going to say, you know what, screw it. I'm not going to do that. So moderation, and figure out what you like and what you don't like, and then making small adjustments on a continuous basis. Mm. Introducing healthy habits to your life. That's the philosophy that my brother Patrick and I launched COFIT with. And we wanted people to understand that if you want to feel healthier and you want to feel better and stronger, the right way to do it in terms of nutrition, mindfulness, and exercise is baby steps. Every single day you add to the adjustment, and you make those adjustments on a consistent basis.
I have a saying that I think you might like, because you mentioned the consistency thing. It's be persistent to remain consistent. So for me, consistency is the flow on effect of when I'm persistent. So if I set myself up every single day with these good habits, these good daily habits of exercising, meditation, you name it, and I'm like pushing through the barrier of, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to do this today. I don't feel like pushing through that barrier, then I will be constantly consistent at it later on. Like it's just like the natural flow on effect. I like that, man. I exercise and meditate, do all that sort of stuff. And it really sets me up for a great day. It really does. I'm curious about, you mentioned you're giving all this great advice, and I'm curious about what has been the worst piece of advice you've ever received from someone.
The worst piece of advice. Oh, I received a lot of bad advice and a lot of good advice throughout the years. And I think sometimes you don't understand the piece of advice you get until years later, because you're not at that point to receive that advice, right? So I think openness is important. I believe I can learn from everyone. I think that each person you encounter in your life serves a certain purpose, whether it's just for that second or longer. So I also believe that you can pull out valuable information from bad advice, whether you decide to do the opposite or adjust your behavior accordingly. So I'm not really sure if there's such a thing as bad advice, because even bad advice can be turned into good advice, right?
Yeah.
So again, I love meeting people, and I love talking to people because I can pull stuff out of their experience that serves me and enriches my life and teaches me things that I didn't know before. What I've learned on my journey is that I'm flawed, that I'm learning how to be comfortable with my flaws as well as my qualities or positive attributes, that I can learn from my flaws, that my flaws have a direct connection with how I grew up and what environment and how I was impacted by my environment, and that I never stop learning. This pandemic especially has taught me so much about myself, because I had so much time to really focus on what's going on here, right? And what I'm afraid of, and what I'm believing, and what I'm feeling, and some of the things that I've done that I regret, and some of the things that I could have done better, some adjustments that need to be made, course correcting. So it never ends, right? I don't think this life is meant to lead us to a destination. I think this life is meant to be lived in the moment, and more we can take moments, the more we cherish them and be grateful for them, the more we can learn about ourselves.
Definitely, powerful words there. I'm curious about, you mentioned your failures and your regrets and everything like that, and I'm curious about what has been the greatest failure in your life that gave you a renewed perspective on life.
I mean, they're countless. You know, you're not successful without failures. I think success is built on failures. And I try to teach that to my kids. I had this conversation with my son the other day. I said, look, you should look for failures. You should welcome failures, right? You should embrace failures, because only when you fail are you able to take an account of yourself and figure out what some of the areas are that you want to improve on, learn from, and applying those lessons is absolutely valuable to your journey. And it also helps to have a mindset of embracing failures, because it takes the fear away, right? It takes the fear away and the nervousness around failing certain areas. So I failed. countless times over and over. I failed in business. I failed in you know, relationships. I failed in parenting. I failed in everything that I've touched. I failed in, for sure. And I'm going to continue to fail. But the key, again, the key is to learn and just to keep getting up and to keep committing to being better every single day.
I love that, man. Two final questions for you, because I know our time is running to a close. Are you a reader at all?
Yeah.
What is
I like to read? I love podcasts. I love also sometimes I just go on YouTube and I go to YouTube and I just put in things that I have no idea about. I love history. We're living in such a pivotal time in our history right now that I love to sort of connect eras and figure out how they are related and what that says about humanity and how we are constructed as people. So I'm a big fan of history.
I do the exact same thing. So we're both in the spirits. What book would you recommend someone pick up and read at the moment? That's your, I guess, not your favorite, but the one that you would just recommend.
Let me see. Right now, I'm reading a couple of, well, actually, we live in a time right now where I think it would be quite beneficial for read Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, which is a great book because, again, it teaches us about the connection between, 1619 and how we're living right now, and some of the issues and challenges that we're faced with right now. And I think it's important for Black people to read, and it's just as important for white people to read, because the first step, it's by Joy, I think it's DeGruy. I'm gonna look it up for you. Joy DeGruy, that's her name. Because the first step in adjusting the direction in which we've been going is to acknowledge history, to acknowledge the atrocities that took place, to acknowledge slavery, to acknowledge how that then morphed into systemic racism and some of the inequalities and inequities that we're dealing with on a daily basis right now. So it's a very poignant book that you can learn a lot from.
I wish I had more time, because I've got so many questions, man, that I could ask just out of that response. Because I love the same thing. I always do deep dives into it myself. There's a lot of fascinating things that history gives us all the answers to the present, but we are so blind to actually see it.
That's right.
But my final question for you, this is my all-time favorite question. So you've been able to reach the age of 100 and your friends have decided to put together your own film of everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done. Don't ask me how in the world they got it all. We'll call it magic. But they've been able to get it and show it to you on your 100th birthday. What do you want that film to say and to show about your life?
You mean what the overall message should be of my life?
Pretty much, yeah. What do you want people to remember you for?
My legacy is my children. I always say that, because that's just the most meaningful thing I've ever produced and I will ever produce, for sure. I would like people to say that I was perfectly flawed, that I cherished every moment, and that I loved to my abilities.
I love it, man. Perfect way to sort of end that conversation. Yeah. Boris, thank you so much for coming on the Storybox podcast and sharing a little bit of your story and your advice. Thanks. I don't like this part because it means that sadly we have come to an end of yet another incredible story. I just want to say thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening to our guest today. It is my prayer that you would have felt inspired, motivated, challenged in some way, and that you would have learned something new as well. If you'd like to hear more amazing stories like this one, you can do so now by searching up the Storybox on any podcast platform. It's that easy. If you did get something from our guest today, please share it around to a friend or family member that you think could benefit from hearing this powerful story. And before you go, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It will only take 30 seconds and it'll go towards reaching more people. Let's start changing lives through powerful stories like this one. Your support is greatly appreciated. Until next time, when we dive back into the story box, I'm Jay Phantom, and don't forget, your story is worth more than you know. I'll catch you next time.